Well, let's turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, and we left off at verse 32 last week. So we're going to pick right up there. And tonight we want to see some healings of the Lord Jesus and some insights on how to walk as a Christian, and some really neat things that have really ministered to me through the years. I want to just see these wonderful things. Excuse me, I just needed to make sure everything's straight in there. So we're looking at verse 32 now. And now, as we check out verse 32, it says, at the evening time, when the sun did set, they brought unto Jesus all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And the whole city, all the city, now this is Capernaum, remember, Peter and John and Andrew and James and Jesus are together with Peter's wife and her mother, who Jesus just healed of a fever. That's what we had last time. And so the multitudes of the city, all the people in the city knew on Saturday, at the synagogue, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man. And so they're all abuzz with that. And now they hear that this really high fever, Luke tells us it was really a high fever, left Peter's mom. It was a miracle. And she rose up and started ministering to Jesus and Peter and John and James and Andrew. And so they are all coming now to the house. Because they're bringing their diseased people, and they're bringing people that are possessed with evil spirits. They are bringing people to be healed because they saw the healing at Sabbath day church, if we want to put it that way. It's not really church, it's synagogue, which means the gathering place for the Jews. And they saw this miracle, and they've heard now about Peter's mom. And so they're crowding the house and wanting to be healed of their diseases. They want to get in on that, and I think you and I would too. And so they're all there as all the city was gathered together at the door of the house. And he healed many that were sick of various diseases, and he cast out many devils. You can imagine what a show that was. Not that it was a show, but I mean, just to see him speaking to demons and demons flying out and so forth. And so he cast out many devils, and he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And he didn't want any interruptions from evil spirits in what God was doing in this marvelous outpouring of the Spirit of God. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he knew his ministry was getting to the point now where he would need to get up way before daybreak in order to be alone with the Father. And it was so important to Jesus to be alone with the Father that he went ahead and got up many hours before the break of day. That happens to busy moms sometimes. And you've probably heard testimonies, and maybe you were or are a busy mom. That in order for you to have some alone time with the Lord Jesus, especially when you have preschoolers, you got to get up early and get into the Word and just sit at the feet of Jesus and let him minister to you. I remember that when our youngest son, Jeremiah, finally went to kindergarten, we had 4 boys in 5 years. So it was like, you know, there was constantly kids. For all those 5 years. And when Jeremiah finally went to kindergarten for the part of the day, and Sherry and I were alone for 4 hours, it was like I died and went to heaven. I thought, boy, this is great. And it was so neat to sit down with Sherry and take our time and read the scriptures together and go out to lunch, you know, and all those things, you know. But yeah, so Jesus, imagine with all of his kids, you know, all of these hungry sheep And he had such compassion for them and love for them to minister to them, but he realized he needed his alone time with the Father. And so in the morning he would rise up a great while before day, and he went out and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. He just prayed. I was privileged and blessed and so thankful to God that when we went to Israel, we got a place right on the Sea of Galilee in a kibbutz, which is an Israeli farm type community. And it was so neat to be there, but it was right close to the sea with access to the water. And I remember I got up before daybreak, around 5 a.m. or 4:30, something like that. And I walked out to the Sea of Galilee, and I stood there on a jetty and just began to talk to Jesus. And I tell you, what a time that was with the Lord. I'll never, ever forget that. And the Lord just spoke to my heart about the ministry and about the sheep and his love for his people. And it was just beautiful. And so I wish that for myself the more and the more. And I pray that for myself the more and the more. And I pray that for you, too, that we could find that solitary place, that alone time, when God can really speak to you. And you know, when you get one of those times, we don't want to use up that whole time with a long list of prayer requests. But we want to be listening as well as speaking, waiting on the Lord, letting his Spirit land on us like a dove, and hear from the precious words of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the words I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And it is precious, and it is wonderful. It's something that all of us can engage in. And so he went to a solitary place and there prayed. And then in verse 36, Simon, and it's so good that Jesus was praying, because he was getting orders for the day. He was getting a chain of command from the Father about what the day would be like, because he never did anything without the Father. And Simon, Peter, he comes a-running. He followed him. Simon and they that were with him, so, you know, Peter, James, and John and the group, followed him to find him. And in verse 37, it says, when they had found him, they said to him, all men seek for you. Well, of course, they want more. Oh, what a night. What a night of Holy Spirit-filled power and all these healings. And maybe some of them had relatives that were healed. Maybe some of them were healed themselves, and they were all looking for him. Where is he? Let's do this all day and through the night kind of thing. And so Peter comes, all men seek for thee. Now, Jesus loved these folks. He had compassion on them. We just read about the compassion that he had, and we'll read a little more about the compassion down at the end of this chapter. And he certainly did want to see them again. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 1, if you wanted to skip down there for a minute, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. He was in the house. And straightway many gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. And so his concern was for them, and he loved them, and his intention was to come back to them. But at this time, he had to say no. When Peter came and said, all men seek for you, Jesus had to say no. This is really, really important for us to know in our own walks with the Lord. There's a time and a place for what God has for you. And sometimes you're going to have to say no to things that really look Christian, that really feel Christian, that really feel like you ought to do this. But it's not time yet. Jesus was going to come back to them a few days later. But right now, he got marching orders from the Father through prayer. That's why prayer is so important. We get our marching orders from the Lord. And even though something looks really good and sounds really right and so forth, there's something else that God's called you to right now, and you have to say no. And this is really difficult. It was so difficult for me to learn this as a pastor, but I want to pass it on to you. You see, all men are seeking for you right now, Jesus. They want to see you right now. They're after you. And Jesus said unto them, let us go. I can't stay for the seekers right now. But he said, let us go into the next towns. There were other towns in the Sea of Galilee area, not just Capernaum, that needed to hear his message, needed to hear his sermons, needed to be blessed with the miracles and see the miracles. Believe that I am the Son of God for the work's sake, for the works that you see done. And so let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. In other words, it's God's call on my life. This is why I'm here. I've got to go on now. And he did, as we said, return to them a few days later. But he had to say no for this moment. And that's hard. That's a hard thing to do. Well, except if you're Jesus, you know what God's got for you. And hopefully the Lord gives us a solid call in the Spirit that we understand through prayer, so that when we do have to say no, we're not having those major condo bondo doubts. Condo bondo is condemnation and bondage. Because I've had to say no. Now, I am so glad for these scriptures. I am so thankful to God for this word from the Lord, because especially in the ministry in my early days, I just felt hugely guilty when I had to say no to someone. And I'll give you an example of some real condemnation that came upon my life because of this. We had a set of girls that came to Bible study at our house on Saturday nights. And we began to take these girls, and in the course of time, boys joined the group. Of course, if you got a mess of girls, you're going to get some guys eventually. And so there they were, and I would put them, stack them, there's before the seatbelt laws, in the back of our Volkswagen bus and drive them to concerts. And those are the days of the Maranatha concerts, and there was one at the Long Beach Arena. And so I took all these girls down there and some guys down to the concert. And at the concert, some of the girls met a guy that was 30 years old. I was 24 at the time. And we had our boys, our four, I think we had all four by then, maybe not, maybe just three then. But anyway, so this guy just came over from Hawaii, and he was somewhat of a homeless type person, but fresh from Hawaii. And so the girls, they wanted to take him home so bad and take care of him. And so they said, well, Mark and Sherry will take care of you. And so this guy ended up coming home in the Volkswagen bus with the whole troop. And we always take all of them home. But then he was ready to stay with us. And we were happy to do that. Sherry made him a really nice sandwich. And we said he could sleep, on the couch that night and so forth. But, as he was eating his sandwich, he was saying, you know what? I had a couple just like you guys in Hawaii that became like a mom and dad to me and took me in. And I started getting nervous, you know, right away with that statement. And he was 30 years old, and I'm only 24. And I got to go to work the next day, and I got my wife and these little boys running around the house. And I went upstairs, and I began to think that God was calling me to take in this guy and forcing him upon me, even though everything inside me is going, no, I can't do this. I can't leave my wife and my kids with this stranger. But I had the guilt that I was not going to do a Christian thing here by telling this guy he can't stay. And I was just tormented with this thing. Man, I got to be a good Christian. And I was in fetal position in my bed, just agonizing. But everything inside of me saying, no, you can't do this. And so in the morning, after just a terrible night of lack of sleep, I just said, you know what, I can't do this. And I called up a Christian commune. In those days, there were Christian communes where people could go. And I said to him, you know, bro, we need to take you to a Christian commune where you can be, because my wife and my kids are here, and I've got to go to work, and I got to take care of my kids and my wife. And so we're going to take you to a Christian commune where there's a whole bunch of people your own age, and you get in the Bible together, and you start growing in the Lord. And I dropped him off there, and he didn't even stay 10 minutes there. He was gone. So, of course, in hindsight, we understand. He was just looking for a place to crash and didn't have really any desire for the Lord or the things of the Lord. So in the course of time, I found out it wasn't God's will that he stay there with us. It just wasn't. And but I was spending a lot of time feeling guilty about, you know, giving him a different opportunity in the Christian commune. One of the ways that God comforted me was this verse. Was this right here. Jesus said no to somebody because it was not God's will. And it won't always be God's will, even if it seems the Christian thing to do. It's just not right. It's not fitting. You have a call from God on your life. And at that time, my call was to take care of a wife and children and go to work and leave them a safe place to live. And so that was God's call for me. And so I had to say no. And it had to be something that looked like it wasn't kind, because I needed to take the guy in and so forth. Now, I think you probably all know through common sense as I'm speaking that it wasn't of the Lord, you know, to really do that. And God needed to speak to me about it and comfort me. And I want to bring this word to you that it's not always God's will for things that might seem right or seem good or seem like the right thing to do. But you have to draw lines in the Lord and know exactly what God's call is for your life and where he wants you next. And there will be many acts of kindness towards many different types of folks through all walks of life that'll be involved in your life. But there's a certain plan. There's a certain dynamic that you can only find through prayer, through going to the Lord and saying, Jesus, is this of you or not? What is of you for today for me? I belong to you, Lord. And God will lay out a paved plan for you and give you little confirmations of what is from him and what is not. And I'm so happy about that as we read that Jesus said, for therefore came I forth. I've got to go. We have to go to the next town, because that's why I'm here. the Father has called me to this, and he spoke to me. And it's so good that Jesus spent that time with the Lord. I wonder how many difficult situations we get ourselves into because we forgot to ask the Lord. You know, I remember those guys that came, snuck, and came to the children of Israel under Joshua, and told Joshua and the children of Israel that they came from a faraway land, and actually they just lived over the hill. And the Lord God had called Joshua and the children of Israel to take all the land, for the iniquity was full through the people of the land, to take the land of Canaan. But the Gibeonites came and lied to them and said, we came from a far land and we're asking your protection. And they showed them shoes that were beat up, and they showed them old wineskins, and they showed them stale bread and said, take us in and sign a compact, a contract with us, so you won't hurt us. And without inquiring to the Lord, Joshua and the elders of Israel made an agreement with the Gibeonites. And then the next day they came over the hill, and the Gibeonites were real happy about everything and just moved back into their city. And it's kind of, ha ha, we got you, you know. And so they were unable to do what God had intended and to move into the land completely, because the Gibeonites had lied and they didn't seek the Lord about it. They didn't ask God whether this was of him or not. And so it's a real lesson for us in the scriptures. And I was so relieved and thankful to God that this happened even to Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is perfect and always makes the absolute correct decision. So there it is for what it might be worth for your life. Now, let's go on to the next three verses. And it says, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee. So he was free now to do the will of the Lord. And he went to all the synagogues, not just the one in Capernaum, but now all the synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and here we see his compassion again. He was just moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And so this prayer with, if you will, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, was honored by Jesus Christ. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. So that was enough faith in this man to be healed. There is a false doctrine out in the body of Christ called name it and claim it. And their teaching is never, ever pray, if your will be done. Your will be done in claiming a healing. No, that healing is yours, and you're going to claim it, and you're going to stand on it, and you're never, ever going to say to God, your will be done, because that is backing off in doubt. I've had this preached to me. I know all about this stuff in the 1970s. And I just want to warn you against that kind of theology and that thinking. My good friend Gary Dwyer, I was in high school with him, and he came to the Lord after high school. We were still buddies, went to college together for a while, and he had kidney problems, and he would go to the hospital, a special medicine for him and so forth, to take care of his kidneys. And he went to a religious meeting one night with this kind of thinking, and they told him to, by faith, to throw away his medication for his kidneys, that God wanted him to believe that he was healed. And he got goosebumps and felt Holy Ghost goosebumps and chills up his spine and stuff, and he thought for sure God had healed him, and he threw away his meds and didn't take them anymore. And my friend died an early, early death He had two little tiny kids. We were still in our 20s. And I went to his funeral because he threw away his meds. And, you know, this is the thing. Don't be stupid. Don't believe this stuff. There's nothing wrong with praying, God, if it be your will, you can heal me. And then you just wait for the doctor to give you the medical release. And God did heal our son, John. He was born with a misshaped bladder. And the doctor took x-rays and showed us the misshaped bladder and told us that that's why his stream was real thin and that he had to go to the bathroom so much as a little boy. And we went to Melodyland to a healing service on a Thursday morning. And God spoke to Sherry and said that John was being healed of that bladder deal in the nursery at Melodyland. And so we took him back to the doctor and said, you know, could you check him out again before the surgery? We'd already scheduled surgery for him. And we had the x-rays. And the doctor said he couldn't believe it. He said his stream was thick now. And he checked him again, and he was perfectly fine and never needed surgery. So God healed him. But I think we were wise to let the doctor check him and document what God did. Never, ever be presumptuous with the Lord. Sometimes he heals and sometimes he doesn't. And there's no explaining it. You just can't explain it. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says wait. And of course, every one of us will be perfectly, perfectly healed when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. We are going to be 100% healed when we get there. But to move into wishful thinking or unreality with the name it and claim it people is not going to work for you. No matter how much you claim it, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. You can't put in what God's left out. And so I want to say from these scriptures, this man that was healed of leprosy, which was the cancer of the day, they just gave people up for dead when they had leprosy in those days, Hansen's disease. They were made to live in their own colonies. Excuse me, just getting rid of a tickle here. But they were made to live apart from regular society because of a contagion of a leprosy, and it was deadly. It would kill them like cancer does today. And so this man had enough faith, because the name and claim it people will say you're not having faith if you're asking God for healing instead of telling him that he's going to do it, kind of thing. This is enough faith. We see it right here. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And so that's the only requirement. You believe that God can do it if it's his will. And God will do it. You don't have to push at it or say, I'm believing this, I'm believing this. Don't speak to me, don't talk to me. And just be stubborn about that kind of thing. So I want to warn you about that. There is a thinking along those lines, and along with that goes the idea that all Christians should be stinking, rolling rich. And so you believe the Lord for your riches, and you might ask the question, well, what about Lazarus? He was a beggar. God loved him, took him to heaven. And you know, different ones in the Bible that aren't rich. And there's no other nation on the planet where you could preach this kind of thing except America, where we are rich and there is a lot of money out there. And so preachers will roll into town and say, you got to believe God that he's going to make you rich, and you're going to have 20s hanging out your pocket, and also for your sickness, you'll never be sick again. You just believe it and receive it, and these kinds of messages. And the thing is, then they leave town and pack up their tents and leave the churches full of people that it didn't work for them. And people are hurt. My friend died. And, you know, it's just not good. And so to be warned against this kind of preaching or teaching, it's not of the Lord. God's on the throne. He's God. And sometimes he'll say yes, and sometimes he'll say no, and sometimes he'll say wait. And so I rejoice in this leper that had such a disease that he prayed, if you will. There's nothing wrong with that. And we bring everything to the Lord. Say, Lord, if it's your will, you can make me whole. You can heal me of this thing, whatever it is. And it might be like Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's something that God has allowed in your life. And you just rejoice and go on. Because it was for a purpose in the Apostle Paul that he not be exalted above measure. He was given that thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And many believe it was an oriental eye disease. And so these bring balance. We don't want to not believe in healing. We know that God can heal. And we can say to him at any time, Lord, if you will, you can do this. And I can believe you for it. But if it's not your will, nothing I'm going to do is make that change. And so I can safely say, if you will, you can make me clean. So this is what these scriptures have done for me and helped me with to understand through the years. Now, let's go on to the next group of scriptures, verses 42 through 44. Now, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. Jesus charged him and said to him, see that you say nothing to any man. Don't tell anybody about this, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Jesus said this many times to different folks. Don't tell anybody about the healing. And you're going, wait a minute, we're supposed to get the word out, you know? And why are you doing this, Lord? Well, one reason is that God, or the Lord Jesus, did not want to take any glory for healings. It's only God that can heal. And the Lord Jesus is submitting to the Father in all things and working with the Father. And Jesus is God, because only God can heal. But he is thinking to really be careful to always give the glory to God. So he tells the man to go to the priest, because that's God's word and God's way, and to offer the sacrifices that are required to pronounce the cleansing of a leper. And we're going to see about that in a minute. But another reason, strong reason, is in verse 45. So let's take a look at this. But he went out, the man did, he disobeyed the Lord, and he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. And so Jesus could no more openly enter the city. Why? Because of the throngs of the mobs. He couldn't preach. He couldn't move. Because this man was bragging about his healing. And so the Lord Jesus then had to stay out in the desert places. And people came to him out there. But he was limited now from city visitation, because the man disobeyed him and told about the miracle. Jesus wanted to bring the message more than the miracles. He wanted to bring the miracles. He wanted to allow God to display who he was through the miracles. He wanted to have compassion on people and heal them of their diseases. But the important part is the message. As Jesus said to Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part to sit at my feet and receive of my word. And that is the really important part, because as we receive the word of God, the implanted word of God, it's able to save our souls, which is the most important thing that needs healing. The soul of a person, the person's life. And the physical healing is secondary. If a physical infirmity helps a person to get closer to God, God will allow the physical infirmity to happen or to continue. But if, when it doesn't mean more spiritual prowess and being able to receive the message better, then he can heal, and he does. He has compassion on the infirmities of the human condition. And like I said, and we all know, that eventually we're all healed of everything. And so we trust the Lord with, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, or how many accidents we might have, or how many people that might go to heaven sooner than we thought they should go, or if God decides not to heal or to perfectly heal by taking them to heaven. We had an elder here in the church, very young man. He had all dark hair and married to a beautiful young lady, and he got cancer. And they prayed and they prayed and asked God for healing. And they really thought if they went to Israel, he would be healed. And different things that came to them. And the wife received a scripture from the Lord. She was sure about it, that said, I am going to raise him up to perfect health. And so she thought the Lord meant that he would be totally healed of the cancer. But he passed away. He passed away. He's the one I talk about when he looked up in heaven and said, they're cranking open the doors. And they certainly were cranking up the doors for this dear brother to go to heaven. And because to be with Christ is far better, Scripture says. And guess what? He was in perfect health when he died, right? He went straight to heaven, and he's in perfect health. So you don't know what God's going to do. He's God, and I'm not. I love that line from the movie Rudy. It's about a football player, and he's trying to get into Notre Dame, and he is trying to get a priest to get him into Notre Dame. And the priest says, you know, in all my years of study, I've found out one thing, that God is God, and I'm not. That's what the priest said to Rudy, and that's the truth of it. And so we trust him, amen? We trust him through it all, healing or no healing, restoration or no restoration, you know, trial or not trial, death or life, and all these things. We trust Jesus Christ, our Savior, because he knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's allowing. And we do want to keep the faith in him completely, amen? Amen. So there it is. Now, I'd like to spend the rest of our time together, which is 15 minutes, to go ahead and talk about the sacrifice given to the priest for the cleansing of a leper. Now, Jesus is pointing back to the Father, and we see this in the book of Hebrews very clearly. Jesus, the Father, actually puts all of the enemies of Jesus under his foot. He makes the enemies, his enemies, his footstool. And then Jesus, in turn, and we're told this in the book of Hebrews, turns back and turns everything back over to the Father, that they might be one completely. It's like the Father's lifting up Jesus, and Jesus is lifting up the Father and glorifying him and all that he does. And this is the kind of thing going on here, because Jesus is now telling this man to be quiet about his healing, but go to the priest rather. Go to the priest and do the sacrifices. But let's take a look at these sacrifices and see how they point back to Jesus Christ. It's amazing. So we want to do that by going to Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 3. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 3. It says this, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, which the priest would see with this man that Jesus healed, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, which really represents the cross, and scarlet, which is red, representing the blood of Jesus, and hyssop. Hyssop was a sponge-type plant that actually they held up to Jesus Christ at the cross on the hyssop to give him something to drink with anesthesia in it to make his cross less hurtful, and he refused it. And at the end of his life, he said, I thirst, and they put some water on the hyssop like a sponge up to his lips, and he took a drink, and he passed away, died. Well, he dismissed his spirit. And so these three things were at the cross, the wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop. And they were to take these three things, the wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, with these two live birds. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And for the living bird, as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from a leprosy seven times, which is God's number of completion, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. What a picture. What a picture of Christ's atoning death that this leopard might be healed. And what a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ right here, way back in the Old Testament, when it was first given to them in Leviticus at the Mount of God, what to do in the cleansing of a leper. Oh, the sin that's taken away because of the death of Jesus. Oh, the person that goes away free as the living bird is let go free into the field. Oh, what a picture because of the death and the blood of the other, his friend. Jesus Christ, my friend, your friend, and his death on the cross for us. And so the leper that was cleansed through Jesus Christ goes back to the priest and gets this picture of the Lord Jesus and what Jesus was going to do to die for his sins and what Jesus did for him in the cleansing of that disease. Beautiful. Well, it doesn't stop here. But it gets more clear about the cross. As we read on in verse 8, it says that they are to go and wash their clothes. The leper is to wash his clothes and shave his head and go to his tent for 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave off all of his hair. This is a good thing because the leprosy was contagious. So you're taking all your hair off your head, and his beard, and his eyebrows even. Even all of his hair he shall shave off, and clean himself with fresh water, and washing everything. And then on the eighth day he was to take two lambs without blemish. Now our Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, without, Peter tells us, without spot or blemish. He was sinless. He was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. He was spotless. And so they were to take two lambs without blemish. One ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 of deal fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log or container of oil And this is the anointing oil. This is the kind of oil that was put upon the high priest for the anointing of the office of high priest. This was the kind of oil that was used in the mixtures to make that oil. And also, it's the kind of oil that we read about in the New Testament. That if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and they should anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. And if this person has committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. And I always carry my oil with me. I have it in my Bible right now. So if you ever need to be prayed for healing, emotional, spiritual, mental, whatever, just let me know and I'll do it right on the spot. Anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven them. And so this is a tremendous thing. Now, the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that has been made clean. Now, in verse 14 of Leviticus 14, it says, and the priest, now listen very carefully to this. This is such a picture of the Lord in the Old Testament. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed. The tip of the right ear. And then it goes on to say, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe, your big toe, of the right foot. So blood from the trespass offering of the lamb that was killed was to be put on the ear, the thumb, and the right toe of the person to be cleansed. That is really a huge sign, huge picture in the Old Testament of the cross. Where was the blood on the cross? The crown of thorns dripping down upon the ears, the hands, thumb, and a nail driven through his feet. And so the blood of the cross was in these places that were given so many years before as a sign of the cleansing of a leper. It's through the blood of the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 16, it says, the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And so how did God make an atonement for sin? How did God make an atonement for sickness? He did that through the Lord Jesus. And that is the picture we have. And so, first of all, the leper is cleansed through the blood. And then he's anointed with oil. The oil of cleansing. The oil of the Holy Spirit of God that anoints people for healing, anoints people for ministry, anoints people for anything good that God has in mind for them. And so these pictures, so graphic. In fact, Pastor Chuck's wife, Kay, said that her favorite book was Leviticus. Because as you go through Leviticus, which many people really yawn through, it's one picture after another of what Jesus did for you and how Jesus cleanses and makes right all that's wrong in my life. And so I am anointed by God with the blood of the Lamb in the sign of the cross on my body. And I'm anointed with the oil of God, his anointing for my life and what he wants and has for me. That, as we began the study tonight, sometimes means saying no for something that seems so Christian, but it's not the Lord. The Lord's got something else for you. And then God will just lead you into that. And so we look to the Lord, and that's where we find these answers. We get up sometimes before the break of day and go pray. Talk to Him. Find out what's up. That this life might be lived in the proper way each day for the Lord, for each one of us. It's God that does these things and brings about these things. And He pictures that awesomely in the Old Testament. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, let's pray together. We'll have Daniel come up and sing. Help us sing. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for Leviticus. We thank You, Jesus, for Mark. And, Lord, You continue to just open Your heart to us and open Your life to us that we can understand how to live. And, Lord, we just want to get it right. And, Father, so help us with our prayer life. Help us, Lord, with listening closely to what's next for us. And, Lord, just knowing that all things are working together for good because You love us and have called us according to Your purpose. Lord, we pray that You would heal all our diseases and forgive all of our iniquities and bring us in to a closeness with You. As You say in Your word, Lord, that You will lead us with Your counsel and afterward receive us to glory. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand together. Yes, may the Lord be blessing you guys. The prayer room will be open for you tonight. Dan and Becky will be in there. They're always in there to see if you need some prayer. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. Might as well ask. That's the way I see it. You know, we've been talking tonight about God saying yes, no, or wait. But, you know, there's no harm in asking. No, that's the way I see it. We just keep on asking. Ask that you might receive. Seek and you'll find, and knock and the door will be open to you. So feel free to come and pray in the prayer room if you would like. And may the Lord bless you and just give you a great evening in Him. Encourage your heart and keep you going in the walk, this walk with God every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.